You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and we've got Lucy Horan from the Refugee Action Collective on the line. G'day, Lucy. How are you?
Hi, Annie. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I've had a rather sobering program today. We've just been talking to Ian Rindle about Villawood and what's been going on there, but it's a perfect segue to the event that's coming up on next Saturday. Do you want to tell my listeners about what's going on?
I'd love to. So next Saturday we're having a rally. It's the 10-year anniversary of offshore detention. So 10 years since Kevin Rudd reopened offshore detention camps and told refugees who were sending to PNG that they would never set foot in Australia. So it's a dark commemoration, as you said, that this has been bipartisan policy for 10 years now, and you know the Labor Party has definitely cemented it since their re-election. They have asserted and reasserted that Operation Sovereign Borders, you know, boat towbacks, offshore detention and the architecture of it, and refusing to let any of those people who were sent offshore ever resettle permanently in Australia. That's, you know, they've reasserted that that's definitely their policy. At the same time, we can see evidence of the movement's impacts. They've had to essentially empty Nauru, and many refugees recently got permanent protection visas who are on temporary protection visas. So we've had some gains over the 10 years, but we haven't defeated offshore detention, and there's so much more to do. So that's why we'll be rallying 2 p.m. State Library next Saturday.
But one of the most important features of this particular rally, I guess, will be the some people, as you say, have gone from temporary protection visas to permanent protection visas, but there's a whole sway of people that did not get protection visas. And that means, of course, that people of this nature, I mean, people don't realise how draining being on a temporary protection visa really is, I think.
Yeah, it's horrific, actually. And people have talked about, so there's two cohorts, well, you know, two main cohorts that have been completely left out of the permanent protection visa resolution process. There's about 12,000 people. One is the group that I've already mentioned, those who spent any time in offshore detention. So these are people who are randomly picked off boats, as far as we can tell. Often they came on the same boat as somebody who's ended up with a permanent protection visa. But these people were sent to Nauru or Manus Island and told, you know, they were being punished for having got on that boat to seek protection. They spent their years in that offshore hell being told they would never set foot in Australia. And when they finally set foot in Australia, they've been told you'll never, ever resettle here. So that's a big cohort of people. That includes children. That includes extremely sick people, extremely traumatised people. But then there's another cohort of people also, some of whom are on the same boat. Sometimes people in the same family have ended up with different visas. So this group of people were subject to the fast-track processing system, so-called. It was introduced by the coalition government. And it is basically a terrible, terrible undermining of people's rights to a proper refugee recognition process. So it's kind of overturned the pattern of recognising refugees from certain countries to being a very quick interview where you know, people are essentially told, no, you're not a refugee, dismissed and then given no proper opportunity to make their case, so people can make applications to administrative appeals and then the High Court. But that has tied up and left people in limbo for years. And there's 12,000 people in that situation. They have no permanency. They don't have access to Centrelink. Their kids don't have access at any point to NDIS, to childcare subsidies. They're in a very, very difficult position. Some of them have work rights, but those who do have work rights often find that their employer is distrusting of the fact that they don't have a permanent visa, so they face work discrimination, no access to tertiary education support, so huge discrimination in the education sector, and they are living as and feel as though they're being treated as, you know, second-class citizens, which is exactly it. They're not even being treated as citizens or being given the opportunity to be on a pathway to citizenship. So a lot of those people are in a terrible state and talk about it as though this is a prison of its own because of the poverty and the exclusion and discrimination. The sense of being still imprisoned is there.
They also have to renew their visas on a continuous basis.
Correct. So some of these people are on bridging visas, and the bridging visas can, I mean, they're kind of varying lengths, but some of them are 6 month basis. And so every time the visa runs out, there is the opportunity to fall through cracks again. So what we found, for example, is that people have had access, they do have access to Medicare through bridging visas, but when their visa runs out, they don't. And so there are big periods of time where they have to reapply. They get their new visa and then reapply for a new Medicare card. No. And in that period of time, they don't have access to Medicare.
Oh, that's horrendous. That's just... awful.
It's appalling. Yeah.
Just awful. It's just that I was really struck by the practical awfulness of it as much as the of huge awfulness, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like
just levels and levels of built-in bureaucratic nastiness and I guess it's intentional. It's very intentional, the whole the exclusiveness of it. Sorry, I've got a little person calling.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we'll end up quickly. I know this rally's been endorsed by a lot of people, including the Victorian Trades Hall, the Greens, the Amnesty International, the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre. I can't go through them all, but there's a lot of endorsees. Tell my listeners again about when it's on and where.
It's 2 p.m. State Library next Saturday. And I think it is really good that we've had so many endorsements, because I think the sad truth is that people think with Labor elected, refugee issues have gone. You know, they were so associated with Scott Morrison and Peter Dutton that I think people think, well, you know, they freed Bill Awila, you know, that it's done. But the truth of it is almost the exact opposite. It's so now cemented into Australian politics. It's so bipartisan. It is so much a part of Labor Party policy now that that it's normal to be this inhumane and dehumanising of refugees who seek asylum by boat. That I think it's almost more imperative that we're out on the streets exposing how much of this system is still in place. And I just one more thing that I wanted to mention. People think that offshore detention is over, but there's 82 refugees in Papua New Guinea who are completely abandoned by the Australian government. They have no pathway to anywhere, and they're in this horrific catch-22 where the UNHCR has said, we'll give you a... you know, if you engage with us, then, you know, we'll organise a pathway to a third country, because, you know, even the UNHCR, slow and ridiculous and conservative as it is, noticed that, you know, there's this cohort of people who have been completely abandoned. But they are so sick, so unwell, some of them, so abused by their decade of detention in Papua New Guinea, that many of them can't engage in a mentally well way with that process. So UNHCR's solution is like Australia's, to just leave them. And it is really a humanitarian crisis there that, you know, Australia has forgotten, and we can't forget those people. There are 82 of them, and they need our solidarity and resistance. So we'll be raising attention about them too.
Thanks, Lucy, for talking to us this morning.
Thanks, Annie.
No
worries.
Hope
to see all of your listeners 2 p.m. next Saturday at the State Library.